Buzz Up Headlines.
Celtics went up early last night over the Suns in Phoenix, but Al Horford, did you start to let this one maybe get away from you a little bit? Al, hello?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we relaxed a little bit. We thought the game was going to be easy. And, you know, one of the things that we're learning, and we know, but sometimes you forget, is that teams are going to keep playing. They're going to keep fighting. And we just have to, you know, be better in that area if we're in this position again.
Horford with 19 points on the night. And now the Celtics will try and go a perfect 4-for-4 on this Western road trip. They got one more game tomorrow night against the Jazz in Utah. Bruins take on the Jets in Winnipeg tonight. Jets have won 5 straight, so that'll be a tough test for the Bees. Still dealing with some personnel issues, absences on the ice. We'll get the latest on who will be out there from Judd Surratt and Bob Beers, starting with the pregame show at 7:30. Puck drops just after 8 on the New England Honda Dealers, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Bruins Radio Network. Rafael Devers not in the lineup today for the final spring training game, but he's expected to be okay and ready to go on opening day after the Sox beat the Cubs last night 4-2. Headlines are brought to you by Pride Kia. Always the best price on the Linway in Lynn. PrideKiaOfLynn.com. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Like that.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, we're starting the hour with some baseball.
Funiculi, funicula. Joy is everywhere. Funiculi, funicula. Let's go, Dan.
Dan Shaughnessy.
Backyard ball game. Local 9, baby.
I believe this is the music that was playing in the background when Dan got his call to the hall. I think.
That sounds familiar.
Right? Yes. Dan Shaughnessy is with us in our Town Fair Tire studios. Sean Silver, you may hear him weekends right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, wrote on 98.5thesportshub.com yesterday, does Boston care about the Red Sox anymore? Saying it's been a drama-free spring training for the Red Sox. J.D. Martinez is here to sock dingers. Alex Cora is in for John Farrell. David Price is saying the right things and looking to throw 200 innings for one of the best rotations in baseball. Roster is stocked with a number of talents.
Interesting how they put Martinez is here to hit dingers, but yet they lower the dinger number.
What?
Just keeping notes, that's
who
all.
Who are you talking about lowering? Sean Silver did not lower anything.
Dan said I'd pump the brakes on the big home run.
Okay,
numbers.
That has nothing to do with Sean Silver and 98.5thesportshub.com. Thank you for that contribution. He says they're coming off back-to-back first-place finishes in the American League East. No one seems to care. Agree or disagree, Dan? No one cares.
I think there's a decided lack of buzz around this team. And we've been talking about it. When we talk about them, it's always about the lack of buzz. And that goes back to the way it ended last year. And a slow winter. They did very little. The JD thing happened in late February. He is not a charismatic, wild and crazy guy with a lot of, you know, great quotes. Or the whole team's kind of like that. And you have this dead-ass period on the sports calendar when they're going to be in Tampa in March, starting on a Thursday afternoon. It's going to take a while for this thing to ratchet up, I think. And if it ever does, but I think it might, because I think they're going to be good. But really, for them, until the...
It's really about the Yankee series.
Well, yeah, and that's not far off. I mean, they might be 9-0 when they play the Yanks, because they're playing two terrible teams that are trying to lose, Tampa and Florida out of the gate, 9 games. The home opener is next Thursday. I think Price is down to pitch that game, which might be interesting. And they should have a really good record. And then the Yanks are here, I think it's April 11th on a Tuesday. And that's a chance to get a little life into the thing. But really, Beadle, until the winter sports teams are out of the playoffs, these guys are going to be laying in the weeds, and you just hope that when you look up at that point that they're not hopelessly behind. I don't think they will be. I think they're going to be good.
he says no one cares and that there's no buzz, and I get what you're saying. There's not as much buzz with this team as there may be with other teams.
No.
For a team that has the roster it has, the payroll it has, number one in baseball.
Number one payroll.
You would think there might be more.
Back-to-back division titles.
Do you know what I think it is? I think it's normal. I think what we are right now is normal. It's just that we're so used to a frenzy over, even now, you know, the Patriots starting. There's obviously buzz. I think with the Celtics this year, there was buzz. Not so much the Bruins, but those two teams, Patriots and Celtics, they're hot. There's maybe a little bit more, but I don't think that this is no one caring. I think plenty of people care about what's going on with the Red Sox. There may not be a big storyline, but I could tell you, Dan, even last year, and maybe this speaks to the type of critical market it is. I mean, look at the interest level in the people that wanted to talk about the team when something bad happened versus something good, but people wanted to talk about it.
Yes. We tend to, like, they're more interesting when bad things are happening. But the weird part about this team, Beetle, is they have won, again, back-to-back divisions, which just doesn't count for anything around here anymore. And I understand that. It's good the bar is high and you know, we have standards and, you know, winning a division. Certainly, we learned that with the Bruins over the years in the 80s.
Like, I also think a 162-game schedule doesn't lend itself to a whole heck of a lot of buzz when the thing starts.
Right.
Right.
They
got to come out hot.
That's a big thing. It's a long year, and I think that's how baseball fans always approach it. It's a long season.
Like, a lot of people didn't attach themselves to this team for whatever reason over the last 2 years, whether it's the decline of Pedroia or he turns you off or whatever, or, you know, it's the young guys, or Bogaerts not exploding. Maybe if Bogaerts comes offline, has a super year like we've been waiting for 4 years, maybe that helps get it going. But the fact it's the same team, and if it wasn't likable to you last year, it's not going to be likable again unless they come out of the gate hot and get your attention.
Yeah, it's all the same guys.
It's on them.
Plus JD.
It's on them to create buzz.
You got a new manager, and that's not going to create much buzz in the market.
You know, I mean, it's the same team. He's kind of along for the ride here, too. And if they do come out hot, he's going to get a lot of credit for it.
Yeah, it's the same.
Justifiably
team.
So or not so. I mean, it is what it is. It sucks they're opening in Tampa. That kind of takes the shine off it.
Well, at least there won't be a rainout.
True.
They got that in their
favor. But you wouldn't have had it here.
And they should win the games.
It's going to be 60 here on Thursday and Friday. So it would have been a good homestand if they opened up here. I know some other years it doesn't add up that way. But
Do you think they're starting
8-0?
Well, the first nine games are against really bad teams. And it doesn't happen in baseball that way, of course, but really, I mean, it's just hard to measure anything that they do out of the gate against who they're playing.
I just want to say, if there's no buzz and you think there's a lack of buzz, what are we comparing it to?
Well, again,
are we comparing it to,
when you go back to 03, 04, 05, 06,
you can't.
That's not fair. Yeah, that was a different
thing.
What
about 1995? 96, 97?
Yeah, it's probably like
Pedro
that.
Pedro getting here in 98.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yankees went away for a while.
That might be a good one. Pedro got here 20 years ago.
See, the Yankees. Yeah. The Yankees have gotten away, you know, from the late 90 years, the early 2000s, to where they had this dip and all the old guys retired and they had that transition and, you know, movement of managers and, you know, whether Cashman's in or not, but they seem to press the reset button and regenerated buzz.
Oh, my God.
Now they went out and got Stanton Company and, you know, Judge is a young guy that exploded for them, but it's the first year you could really remember in about, you know, a good 10 years we could say, well, who do Yankees have now? Now you're going to keep around the Yankees a little bit.
Absolutely.
Or you're going to go out of your way to maybe watch some Yankee games.
Sure, they've got
because
the lineup.
Of the lineup.
Got the lineup. They're in the cover of Sports Illustrated. The long ball sales.
Yeah. Let's go to Mike, who's in Littleton on the Red Sox. Hey, Mike.
Mikey.
Hey, how's it going today?
Mike.
Great.
Good. Just calling to say that I think a main contributor why the Red Sox have no buzz is because there's still that bad aftertaste of them being a hateable team, and clearly their mouthpiece and Price, he's clearly disingenuous, at least to me he is. And I feel like everybody's kind of going, they need to change before I'm going to contribute, you know, myself to this team this year.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I think there's a show-me attitude about the whole thing. And, you know, the leftover stuff from last year, you know, the Machado thing in Baltimore, the Price thing in the middle of the summer.
That's why I said it's on him. If you come out and you're playing well and you seem into it, people are going to come. They're going to like you.
People didn't like the manager last year. There was a fifth year, John Farrell. And all the winning just was for naught when you get, you know, broomed out of the playoffs the way they have 2 years in a row. So I think that standards are different, and they have a manager that they feel better about. Guys sort of addressed it in spring training this year, Betts and Bogaerts in particular. And everybody always feels good in spring training, so it's unfair until they get going up here.
Well, they're having fun.
What it's
going to
be like.
I'm glad they're having fun.
But the signs are good early on. We'll see if they do the outfield dance after they win.
I think that's not. I think that's not going to be a thing.
You think they're not going to do it?
Remains to be seen.
Center fielder might not be as happy and go lucky as
how about
he
if
was
it's JD
another.
Martinez and it's not the same outfield every day and that group is changing?
I think it better be the same outfield every day. That's crazy.
Have you been not paying attention?
I mean, JD Martinez is going to play the outfield, Dan. I mean, that's become apparent.
Well, I don't know at whose expense. I mean, if you're saying
Bradley Jr. Yeah.
Center fielder.
I don't like that.
Wow.
I mean, unless you're going to, you know, bench
this
Bradley.
This Martinez guy is going to be a
problem.
Then.
Bench Bradley, then that's one thing.
Well, what else would you do with him if he's not playing?
He can't hit.
They're not going to DH.
Well, that's going to be
they're
interesting.
They're going to DH him. They're going to put Hanley
like
in the lineup.
JD
the
wants to play.
They're going to play Moreland at first. Dan, this is going to come down to a battle of Moreland versus JBJ. Who's hitting?
I'm with him.
That's assuming Hanley is hitting. Because if Hanley doesn't hit, then you've got a solution there. And Hanley sits. And you've got your DH in JD Martinez.
Right.
Which this is not a thing.
The desired lineup is JD Martinez DHing Hanley at first base. That's right. The desired lineup. But you get into the righty-lefty thing, Beetle. And if you're saying it's a Moreland-JBJ thing, most of the pitchers, as we know, are right-handed two-thirds of the time. That would mean Moreland's going to get the reps and Bradley's on the bench two-thirds of the time.
Correct.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Correct.
You think JBJ is going to be on the bench two-thirds of the games?
I think that at some point someone's not going to hit, and that's going to solve their problem.
Well, that tends
to
going to
happen.
Guy gets hurt
and
doesn't hit.
Out.
Yeah, those things.
Someone's going to hit hurt. Someone's going to hit. Something will happen. Something is going to happen.
Imagine what Pete Abes would do if he had two-thirds of the game. Jackie JBJ said.
Let's just talk about like the first 10 games. I'm so curious to see how that dynamic in this lineup. I mean, I think there's some good stuff to look for at this team. Like, their lineup to me is going to be fascinating. We mentioned yesterday the Astros went with 144 different lineups last year.
Right.
And Alex Cora wants to, and that's what Pete Abe was writing about. Pete Abe had that story. Excellent, excellent statistic. And that Alex Cora sort of wants to be in that same mold. That's going to be something to be talking about all year long. That's going to be great fun. Second-guessing the manager about lineup decisions. That, to me, is worth your time and efforts.
Sure.
Fans here typically enjoy doing that. Bob is in Cambridge on the interest level of the Red Sox. Hey, Bob.
Hey, gentlemen. Hey, Dan, just like to say, I've been reading you since about 11 years old, man. It's an honor to have you in this this market.
Great. And now you're in your 70s. Thanks very much.
close. Hey, listen, I think the Red Sox have to be real careful walking into this year, mainly because, number one, the Bruins are playing old-school hockey with new wave coaching. Number two, the Celtics are young, and everybody, you know, Greens, they got everybody's attention, and all the problems going on with the Patriots. I think the Red Sox in the first half of this season better be very, very careful, or else they're going to lose a lot of interest and a lot of money in the first half.
That's a really good point to bring out, because, I mean, I remember writing just a few months ago, the Celtics have vaulted past the Red Sox in terms of interest, and now you got to wonder if the Bruins get going, then, man, the baseball team's
going
to have to.
The Bruins are going. They're getting healthy. Have you ever remembered?
The Celtics fans love those guys. So, I mean, they're pulling a lot of attention away from the Red Sox.
Yep.
Have you ever remembered them spending this much money to get ready for a start of a year to where potentially, you could argue back and forth, but I disagree that they could be the fourth talker right now, starting a season.
No, absolutely not. I mean, the notion of them being
still think
fourth
it's Patriots,
in the market is
Bruins, Kyrie stuff with his knee is third.
I know. Oh, they're, you know, people.
They're a natural fourth.
Folks are into the winner teams, no question. And the Bruins put themselves right in there, and they earned it.
Yeah.
We got room for four.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, yeah.
We've got room for four.
We got room
it's
for
okay.
Five.
617-779-0985. Two other things we do absolutely need to get to. One of them is a great read by Evan Drellick about the fact that too much credit's already being given to Alex Cora, and too much credit will be given to Alex Cora. He's taking an advanced take on this. He's trying to get ahead of it and take away the credit before it's given to Cora. That, and also John Farrell was surprised to learn he was getting fired, a little bit surprised, and Dustin Pedroia has spoken out against his former manager. All that is on the way with Dan Shaughnessy.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't want to say names, but I think in spring training we saw a few guys taking a step forward, approach-wise, defensively, running the bases. So we have to wait and see. It's 162 games, but I feel there's a lot of guys in there that will take a step forward.
manager Alex Cora speaking today. Thinks there are a number of players that are taking a step forward, and hopefully there are guys that have bounce back years, perform closer to what we think they're capable of under the new manager.
Kind of chuckled at the base running there. Like, not that he's taking a shot, but base running wasn't too good past year.
Evan Drellick writes this for NBC Sports Boston. He says, Alex Cora has changed Red Sox culture for the better. The good vibes are flowing like Andrew Benintendi's old hair. Said Cora's time shaping his first clubhouse is just beginning. So even more synchronicity waits. Let's get out in front of this now. Then, he's saying, in 2018, we're going to give the clubhouse culture more credit than is due. He's already trying to proactively take away credit that hasn't yet been given. He said, Cora, his staff, and the environment they create will deserve credit if the Red Sox have expected success. Plenty. But the narrative has already become too singular, too easy. Can you hear it coming? If the 2018 Red Sox start raking again, well, that changed from 2017 to 2018. What changed? One big bat named J.D. Martinez and the manager. Yeah, no, that would be pretty significant change. A new manager and a middle-of-the-order bat. That's my thought, is those would be significant changes.
But I don't care. If they do have bounce-back years and they are better players than what they showed last year, if to what Bogart said, you know, prior to start of spring training, that there was a tension or, you know, kind of a tightness, and everybody recognizes that, you know, the guy's coaching or managing for his job, and there's that tightness there, then why wouldn't this guy get credit for keeping a looser atmosphere to allow these guys to relax and perform better?
Because I think he's missing one key element, and that is the moves on the field, the lineup, how the pitchers are managed, how pitchers are used, how you use your bullpen, how you use your closer. Those are all integrated and tied in to a clubhouse culture. They're not independent of one another.
Right.
The moves on the field are not independent of the mood in the clubhouse. Those are very much tied together. Last year, there are clearly issues based on what Dustin Pedroia said yesterday with players feeling like if they didn't have a good day, they might not be in the lineup the next day. That there was a lot of pressure being put on by the manager. Remember that report from Jared Carrabas that last year there were coaches on the staff that were upset with how Craig Kimbrel had been used, and they felt like John Farrell was abusing Craig Kimbrel early because he felt pressure for his job, and that there was a conversation about it at some point. So they're not like independent things where, oh, we just focus on fun, right? Everyone's making fun of the Red Sox for players for saying they want to have fun this year. They want to enjoy the atmosphere. They want to go to work and, you know, whatever it might be. Everyone have a smile on their face. Yeah. They're related. They're not two separate things.
Well, Beal, first of all, there's the notion that last year was this epic failure somehow. They won 93 games. You don't win many more than 93 in your best year. If you get to 100, that's an amazing season. And so it's really just a handful of games you're talking about for regular season. Now, we know why people, no one likes the end. And they flopped in the playoffs. They lost 3 out of 4 of the world champs. Bad. Don't do that. But there's nothing they can do about that until they get there. But a 93-win season is not an epic failure. It interested me in spring training when they rolled out ownership, the one day a year that they're out there, and it's like, at that point, they hadn't brought in J.D. Martinez yet. And it was like, well, we're different this year. And we're like, actually, you're not. It's
wasn't
the same,
it that
it's
day,
the
though?
Same
didn't
team.
They speak in the morning?
Did it later
it was
that night.
That's
later
right.
That night, yeah. Yes. Sure. But it was a very odd reaction from John Henry, who kept saying, don't you see how different we are? And we're like, actually, no, it's the exact same team. And he said, well, look who's not here. And he basically blamed the whole season on the coaching staff at that point and the approach. The approach, which was the launch angle and the swinging at first pitches and the things that they're so
launch
so
angle.
That's going to come into this, too. If they do better or are more liked, it's not going to be just clubhouse culture. It's going to be better coaching, better approach, launch angle, swinging at first pitches. Get ready for that. And last night, Chili Davis, I thought, was very dignified and gracious when asked, you know, did he notice that John Henry blamed the whole season on him when he spoke in February? And he, you know, said all the right things of a guy who used to work there. And
yeah,
he's now
what Chili Davis
Cubs.
Said is, we did what we had to do last year to win the division and move on to the playoffs. Unfortunately, we didn't have success in the playoffs. That was disappointing. I don't take that personally. I think that the time I spent in Boston, that John Henry and the whole Boston organization was very, very good to me. So I have no ill feelings at all.
Good for you, Chili. I'd have been really hacked off about that. And basically, they got this like team, the highest paid team in baseball, that fails in the playoffs, and it's the coach's fault. I thought that was weak.
Launch angle. I mean, Alex Cora has brought up the launch angle. I've heard this.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously, the
launch angle and approach.
Yeah, and the approach thing is important because if you say, just put, Xander Bogaerts has a bounce back year in a vacuum, and that has nothing to do with culture. What if it has to do with a manager who says to Xander Bogaerts,
like it's swing.
Xander, I think you're a hell of a ball player. I think we're going to get a lot more out of you this year. I want you to be aggressive at the plate. I want you to be swinging early. When you get that fastball you're looking for, if it's the first pitch of the at bat, take a hack. Start ripping, man. And you know what? I'm not going to take you out of the lineup because if you follow the approach and you're aggressive, you're staying in because I know you've got, you know, you've got ability. And all of a sudden he instills some level of confidence in the player and a different approach. Those things go hand in hand.
And
they just do.
Beale, you are old enough to remember this, and I don't often say that, but back to the Nomar era, Nomar made a living off first pitch fastballs.
And people crushed him for it.
And they were crushed for
that
it.
Was the big Felger, Sean McAdam battle.
Yes. And then Theo
Mr.
came
Baseball.
In. Theo came in, and that all went away, including Nomar. But Theo came in, and plate approach was grinded out, run up the count, and you know guys would get high-fived after 11-pitch strikeouts because they wore the guy out.
And the game has evolved since then, though,
get
Dan.
Into the bullpen.
It goes in cycles, right? The style of play that wins in this league goes in cycles. It used to be 10 years ago, you wanted to take as many pitches as possible.
Grinding.
You wanted to wear down and grind down
Kevin Youkilis,
a starter to get to the bullpen. Well, guess what? Look across the league now and tell me what the bullpens look like.
They're all pretty good.
They're all damn good.
6'6 guys coming
and
throwing 100.
Getting to the bullpen might not be what you're looking to do in a given game. You might want to blow up a starter early. You might want to jump on him early and get your runs in the first four innings as opposed to the last four innings.
Beetle, you've hit on something very good there. Very astute.
Thank you, Dan.
Very astute baseball observation there.
So I think the game just goes in cycles, and I'm sure at some point down the road, like fashion trends, Dan, what's old is new. Well, you're going to have a point where you get back into that, and that becomes the case in baseball again. But right now, it isn't.
And for the fans, God bless it, this is a more entertaining game when they're swinging at first pitches instead of the grinding out. You got to wait through six foul balls and all this stuff before anything ever happens.
Well, Alex Cora is also promising not to run into a million outs on the base
paths.
That
would be nice.
Which is going to help.
Be smart.
Well, they run into 72 outs last year on the path.
They broke all the records, yes.
That Devers one yesterday, yes. That was kind of cool.
That was a weird play. That was a dumb play. I mean, they're staggered. The end of spring training, they had, you know, JD got hit last night. Devers had that goofy slide, you know, could have hurt his shoulder, his back, his knees, anything. Sale got hit with a comeback.
Hey, maybe sometimes you get hit, it helps you. Maybe he's just going to hit dingers now. It's like when the mule kicks you, and sometimes you forget who you are.
You're going to like him, though. So. I mean,
I just think, listen, Dan, there's going to be ways for us to look at the way Bogaerts approaches things or Betts approaches things and say, that's Alex Cora. That's or maybe not Cora individually, but that's a new approach.
Oh, yeah.
And these guys are allowed to have a different approach and a new way of doing things. Or, hey, they're only using Kimbrel in the really high leverage situations.
Well,
they're not bringing him on for every save. You might look at that and say, that's Cora. That's a new approach.
And
that's not what it was.
That's going to be interesting, Beetle, because you've hit on two things there. When you talked about the Moreland, Hanley, J.D. Martinez, Troika, and you know two spots, three jobs, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You've got that and Hanley's 497 vesting option at-bat qualifier. And then you've got the situation with how they're going to manage those three guys. And with the Kimbrel thing, how are you going to manage that player who's in his walk year? Everybody loves saves, although the people who are signing high-talent relievers aren't as in love with it as they were, but the players still are. And you start using Kimbrel in high leverage, seventh, eighth innings. He's not getting his saves. He's not getting his numbers and his walk here. That could be an issue, too.
We'll get to John Farrell coming up next and also Dan's dates at 12:50. But first, Alex Cora, how's your spring going so far?
I mean, besides the friggin' best record in baseball, I mean, it went well. I think the work we did when we went on the road, the guys staying back, especially in the infielders, was great. Bruce, Ramon, also Andy, they help a lot. We got better defensively throughout the spring. Records doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. We could be 9-21, although people probably go nuts if that was the case.
But, oh, by the way, we've got the best record in baseball.
Yeah, don't you forget it.
He's bragging about spring training records.
Glad he clarified it.
He did.
Because we were told not to pay attention to stats in the spring.
But at least you can understand exactly how the guy feels and exactly what it is he's trying to say. Oh, it's so nice to have Alex Cora here. Everything is great with Alex Cora right now.
Better. You want to learn from that?
Drellick, you're so negative, Drellick.
We got better on defense. We got better on defense this year.
We're going to, you know what? I don't feel like bashing the current manager yet, so let's bash the old manager. We'll do it next.
I mean, besides the friggin' best record in baseball. I mean.
Sports Hub headlines.
I don't appreciate the language, quite frankly. Celtics got another road win last night, 102-94 over the Suns in Phoenix. Brad Stevens, you guys were up 20 at some point, but kind of let Phoenix back in.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we relaxed a little bit. We thought the game was going to be easy.
That's Al Horford. I want to know what Brad Stevens has to say about it.
I would say that human nature hit us a little bit after our good start. You know, I thought we took our foot off the gas, which is really hard not to do when things are going well and the ball is going in and you're up 20 early. But they keep coming, and they did that last year. They've done that to us in the past, and Ulis loves playing against the Celtics.
Jason Tatum, team-high 23 points in the win. Green have a chance to go 4-0 on this road trip when they wrap things up tomorrow night in Utah. Bruins are on the road tonight. They take on the Jets in Winnipeg. Jets are out. Bob Beers at the call starting at 7:30. Puck drops just after 8 here on the New England Honda Dealers. 98.5 the Sports Hub. Bruins Radio Network. Headlines brought to you by Boston Laser. Do what Gerard Mayo did. Start seeing 2020 with a LASIK procedure at Boston Laser. 866-77-LASER. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 the Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Do you feel your jobs on the line?
You're one of the guys that reminds me how often it comes up. But it's not, it hasn't changed my approach with our guys at all.
Farrell's been thrown out.
I mean, he was there for us. He's done a great job in managing personalities and you know, putting us in positions to win.
He knows each and every guy in here. He knows what we're made of.
I thought John did a great job.
Do you expect to be back for the 2018 season?
We just walked off the field 10 minutes ago.
Oh, good. Good for you!
You all right, so?
Yeah.
Okay, good. 12:37 here on Zolak and Bertrand. John Farrell has spoken about his firing. He did a conference call related to his new gig at ESPN. He said, I think as the season wore on and as we got down to the final weeks, maybe there was a little bit of a gut feeling. You know what? This might be taking place, as in he might be losing his job.
What a putz.
He said he was a little bit surprised. What?
Well, Beetle, it's unusual to finish in first place 2 years in a row and then get fired. You know that, I don't know.
You know that three, really seemed three, like Dombrowski had
three
his back.
Playoff managers got fired last year.
Oh yeah.
Because Dombrowski really doubled down on him. Really, really made him feel, you know, safe and secure.
I mean, Joe Girardi goes to the ALCS and gets canned.
Yeah.
That's special.
Game seven. And that Johnny Miller question about, do you think you're managing for your job, that was opening day in 2016.
Oh, my God.
They had finished in last place in 14 and 15. And so, yeah, that was a legitimate question. And John,
please tell me we have that on video. Hold on, Dan.
I know.
Were you guys rolling?
Something just
rolling?
Happened here with the sound.
Damn it.
Yeah.
We've got some cameras in here.
nothing worse than pinching your finger. You'd rather break it, bend it,
oh man,
stow it, jam it, whatever.
What did you pinch it in?
My foot, my knee got caught.
He pinched it between
so
his
small. It's such
his
a
own leg.
Dennis,
his,
I know you're here.
His own leg in the table.
The workspace,
I mean, that's
is way
special.
Too small.
His
for
own
big
leg.
People.
Well, maybe you're way too big.
Yeah, he's way too
well,
big.
Okay. A little higher desk area I would recommend.
Show me what you did.
My foot got caught on the chair when I hit the thing, and it pinched my hand between my knee and the
It really
desk.
Hurt him. I could tell.
Wow.
So
fine.
You pinched your hand between another body part of yours.
Yes.
And the desk.
Yes.
Was there any NFL hit that you ever took that was worse than that just now?
Oh, yeah. Chris Dolman from behind. Lost skin off both elbows.
Okay.
Got in a huddle, look down. Wow, skin is not there, and Eugene Chung's in a huddle throwing up. Why don't you just leave, okay? Because you can't block anyone.
Was it as bad as when your dad pinned you up against the garage door?
That was a bad day.
Yeah.
Well, keep your feet moving.
Never not do that again.
Yeah. Love that.
Talked to him yesterday. He's like, make sure you tell the boy, keep his feet moving.
Keep your feet moving. Quarterback, keep. First and goal.
Yep, you don't get stopped. Yeah.
Okay, back to John Farrell. Speaking about his firing, he did mention that Dave came in and inherited me, so he felt like there was a change that was needed because we made quick exits the 2 years consecutive going into the postseason. He still talks like this. Even in the written quotes, you read this and you're saying you're using extra words.
Impacting the ground.
Yeah, he's trying to sound smarter and longer and just, you know, I'm thinking while I'm speaking to just stretches. You know what it sounds like? You know what Sarge comes in to do his headline? And he puts his little clock there, like his minute, 30 seconds. How long are they?
90 seconds. Yeah.
Today on the Sports Hub,
right.
Headlines, let's go down to see the Red Sox score. He's stretching it out to make it feel.
Very methodical.
To fill it in.
So he felt like there was a change that was needed because we made quick exits the 2 years consecutive going into the postseason. Who uses those words in that order? What?
John Farrell.
I mean, you're the former man. You're the manager of. You're a former pitching coach. The problems you had in the postseason was pitching. Your forte is pitching, and you couldn't help these guys.
So the expectation, as it is every year, whether it's New York or Boston, L.A., Chicago, to go deep into the October run, we didn't do it.
That would be like the playoffs.
Yes,
the October
the
run.
The October run. It's supposed to go deep in the playoffs. We didn't got booted quick. You're supposed to go deep into the October run.
Yes.
We were eliminated swiftly by our competition from first Cleveland and then Houston.
That's like there's a Harvard fight sound. It goes, fight fiercely, Harvard. Demonstrate to them our skill. Sounds like John Farrell.
John Farrell. Oh, man. But he's gone. And I think we're all happy to have Alex Cora here. And I'm giving him credit out of the gate. And I hope everyone else is going to give him the credit out of the gate. And if they win and they're successful, we will give credit to Alex Cora. And if they don't win and they lose and the approach is not working, we will kill Alex Cora. That's how it goes.
Simple math,
Dan.
Simple math.
I like it.
You win,
welcome
you get praise. Yeah. You lose, you get the blame.
Yep.
It's really simple.
Fair enough. Good deal.
617-779-0985. Is the phone number.
The bunting that hangs tomorrow is the visible evidence that the season has begun.
No, it's two days away, John.
No moron.
It's 2 days away.
No man talks that way.
Squared some balls up to the pole side.
How do you even sit there as a beat writer and say, I'm going to go down for 6 weeks and cover that crap?
Baseballs are solid.
Like, he's not even there. I know he's not there. It should be exciting to go down.
Give me the grass. Give me the grass one, Jim.
It comes out of the groove somewhat and then slides back in.
Jim, give me the fake grass.
Give me the grass. I need the fake grass.
Length of the grass.
It's turf, and it's extremely long. The blades of artificial grass, the depth of the crushed rubber is deep.
Crush your rubber.
Deep depth.
The depth is deep.
The deep depth.
The depth
of his
head.
Rubber.
Good God.
The depth is deep.
Words, words, words.
Words. Using more words here.
This is him talking about his team that he knows very well. Wait till he's got to break down and analyze other things.
What's the Harvard thing?
I really don't know much about that situation.
Fight fiercely, Harvard. Demonstrate to them our skill. I think it has albeit in there somewhere.
Albeit.
The only fight song with albeit.
Says that? It's like nobody says swell.
It's
really
from like
says
the
swell.
1800s or something.
What did you make of Pedroia's comments, though, yesterday?
I thought it was interesting. I mean, again, he stayed away from the Machado thing. He didn't want to get into it, which I thought was a little bit of a cop-out. I understand why they want to do that, but some folks aren't right with it until you do. I thought it was a little convenient to, you know, kind of, again, they won 93 games. How many more are you going to win than that? They flamed out in the playoffs because, guys, he was hurt. No one produced. The pitchers let him down, and the hitters let him down.
I just love that he said it because it confirms something that I had been saying for a couple of years. And that is that it's strictly personal. Pedroia and the manager did not see eye to eye.
No, well, that was never going to work.
Those guys were not friendly.
Because he loved Tito, then he hated Bobby, and he didn't like this guy.
And I think it didn't go back to the first go-round with John Farrell as pitching coach.
No.
They had developed a dislike for one another after John had come back to Boston.
Right, and of course, the Cora thing, he and Pedroia could not be tighter. I mean, close teammates.
Okay.
Pedroia really likes him.
Their friendship going to be affected if Say this is the beginning of the end, Pedroia, meaning you're mid-30s, you're breaking down. And Cora's got to make tough decision, a tough decision maybe not to play him or tell him, we got to move on here. Something's not right.
That's
with
a legit
you.
Question.
Say the knee doesn't bounce back.
It's either going to go really well or really poorly.
Right.
And I don't think there's much of an in between there.
Because I think he's expecting to play. This is Buddy. You know, the manager takes over. I love Dustin. I love Kelly. Pedroia. You know, he goes through the whole list of names.
Yep.
Knows the whole family. Like, they're tight. When you don't play, and all of a sudden you're forced to move away from somebody, that creates a divide.
I'll tell you this, though. It doesn't feel like Dustin Pedroia is close.
Well, I think it's May. Maybe late May, maybe early June. I don't know.
Well, that timetable's moved. That timetable's moved.
The bad thing is that the infield defense is going to be brutal until he gets back.
By the way, the lyrics for the Harvard fight song are, Dan is absolutely right in the first two lines, yeah. But it gets so much worse after that.
Well, what is it?
Better.
Give it.
Fight fiercely, Haven. Demonstrate to them our skill. Albeit they possess the might, nonetheless, we have the will. How shall we celebrate our victory? We shall invite the whole team up for tea.
What?
Hurl that spheroid down the field and fight, fight, fight. That doesn't even rhyme.
On to victory.
Fight fiercely, Haven. Impress them with our prowess. Do. Oh, fellows, do not let the crimson down. Be of stout heart and true. Come on, chaps. Fight for Harvard's glorious name. Won't it be peachy if we win the game?
It is a parody.
Dan's dates are coming up next. Thanks more of this good time on the way.
God. That was opening day in 2016.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to King Arthur. The Knights of the Round Table.
Could this head injury have been caused by a fall?
Zolak and Bertrand.
On 98.5.
The Sports Hub.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Time now for Dan's dates. It is March 27th. Dan, what do we have?
I don't know about you, Beetle, but I'm anxious to get out of March. That said,
he's complaining about the weather. He says now it's too cold.
It's a little bit unseasonably chilly, I think, in my view. People that were born on March 27th, Cale Yarborough, y'all know who that is, right?
No.
Really?
No.
Race car driver.
Yeah, big time. No. Yeah, he's 79.
Wouldn't know that.
Anyone
old
know?
Race car driver.
Anyone, old guy.
Wheelhouse.
Any Genesis fans here?
I like Genesis.
Yeah. Phil Collins.
The first, first or second generation Genesis.
Studio.
This is the keyboardist, Tony Banks. He's 68, so.
Nobody knows
I guess
keyboarder.
Only the drummer matters.
Like, who's
there.
The Bon Jovi keyboardist? Nobody knows
Do
that.
Do not know. Quentin Tarantino?
Yeah, filmmaker.
Yeah, I know who he is.
55 today.
So Tarantino is making the next Star Trek movie I saw.
He's young, huh?
Yeah,
he is. Yeah, I would have thought he would have been like
65.
Late 50s.
Yeah.
All right, you guys want to guess how old Mariah Carey is today?
I'm going to guess she is 48.
44.
I'm going to go 46.
All right, she's going to like both of you two, but Beatles correct. She's 48. Yeah. Right.
Let's guess a weight on her.
Well,
no, let's not
pass
nice.
On that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not nice.
What about Fergie? How old's Fergie today?
Fergie is 46.
I'd go 45.
Fergie did the anthem at the...
Yeah, crushed.
I think it's the last thing she's done.
Oh, she crushed it all.
Shockingly, it's the last thing she sung.
Really good.
Yeah. She's,
how old is she?
She's 43 today.
Oh, that is... Ooh, 43. She is... That is...
She's a...
10 miles of hard road right there.
She's a mileage 43.
Now, stuff that's happened on March 27th. In 1513... Juan Ponce de Leon discovered
Fountain of Youth. Fountain of Youth, baby. That's what he was looking for.
He discovered Florida.
And Brady found it.
Yeah. How do you discover Florida?
I mean, everyone goes to Florida
to
get
old. Heat.
If you're looking, there's definitely no Fountain of Youth there.
Yeah, if you're looking for the Fountain of Youth,
it's an alligator. There's no alligators in Georgia.
I think all those retirees are down there looking for it.
Look at these old people.
At the 4 p.m. cheese and cracker tray at the Homewood Suites.
And they got good two-for-one drinks down here all the time.
Stampede of the Cottontails.
Meatballs. Free meatballs, too, Dan.
Love the meatballs. On this date in 1884, the first telephone line between Boston and New York was inaugurated.
Were they sworn into office? Inaugurated?
Not exactly. The cherry blossoms were planted on this date in 1912.
Awful. Worst smelling trees you'll ever smell.
It's a breeze.
It's disgusting.
Though. It's only like 2 days.
It lasts
quick,
like a
but
week.
I tell you what.
It's very quick.
If you could get to Washington, D.C. when the cherry blossoms bloom, it is one of the prettiest sights you'll ever see. Really
you just
is.
Don't like the smell.
Smells
good. I had one of those trees in my yard as a kid. We had
just
to get
look
it
at it, don't
down
smell
for
it.
For the betterment of the wiffle ball games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had it removed.
On March 27th, 1958, Nikita Khrushchev became Soviet premier.
Khrushchev.
He was famous for pounding his shoe at the UN. Y'all remember that?
Of course.
Took off his shoe and pounded it on the podium. On this day,
a song about him?
20 years ago today, the Food and Drug Administration approved Viagra.
Nice.
20 years ago today. Who knew? No one's saying anything about that one.
You on Viagra?
Woo! Oh,
Daddy, give me some of that Niagara!
There she blows! Slowly I turned!
There's some good rock and roll stuff on the stage. Good. I know Harvey always loved. On March 27th, 1952, Sun Records began releasing records. Harvey, why were they famous?
Well, Elvis, the Million Dollar Quartet.
Yeah.
Which was Elvis, Jerry Lee Lewis. Help me out, Dan.
Johnny Cash?
Johnny Cash and what? Oh, Carl Perkins.
There you go.
That's right, your million dollar quartet.
And oddly enough, 20 years later, on this date, the king himself, Elvis, recorded his final top 10 hit, which was Burnin' Love, as in a hunk of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On
this date in 1979, Eric Clapton ran off with George Harrison's wife and married Patty Boyd.
Yeah, that was a thing.
Yeah, he had his mind set on her.
That was the song Layla was written.
Layla was
about
yes. Patty.
That's correct. On this date in 2006, it's kind of a weird one. Does anyone know the name of the policeman in the Village People?
Young man.
It's Victor.
Hot cop.
Yeah.
As in hottest cop on the disco scene.
Sexy.
I bet you've never seen a cop as funky as me.
Sexy. Wow. Sexy boy.
His name is actually Victor Willis.
Oh, I did know that.
You did?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That's too much information. And on this date in 2006,
can you believe
he was arrested.
For what?
Imagine arresting
impersonating a police officer. Obviously.
Can you believe Hardy's old man and my old man drove us, me to Montgomery Ward's, to buy this album? Full well knowing what they were doing.
Did they know?
No, they didn't.
Two guys that couldn't be more homophobic.
Right. My dad nailed the Bruce Jenner, but somehow this one, these guys got by him.
My dad wasn't homophobic, but he always had these veiled statements he would make. It's like, look at that guy. He'll give you a change for a seven.
Like, we sat there. I remember sitting there watching the In the Navy videos.
Like, what does that mean?
How would you like to be the San Francisco cop? A
couple of $3 bills and a one.
You're the
maybe? I don't know.
You're the cop who collared the cop.
So what did he get arrested for?
It had to do with disappearing on a gun and drug trial.
Oh.
Yeah, he broke bail. He was gonzo. A couple of baseball items on March. They're a little hard to find baseball on March 27th because it's mostly spring training centric.
Late spring training. Sometimes but we do the bunting is out and it's an early regular season game.
National League guy birthdays. Matt Harvey is 29 today.
Good day.
Buster Posey is 31. There were two stars of the ACC who went on to success in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, Buster Posey changed the rule about collisions at first plate. It will forever be known as the Buster Posey rule, and I think we should all hold him in contempt for
that. I agree.
Yeah, they all agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Not like a good catcher getting trucked.
Another baseball item from March 27th. In 1989, Sports Illustrated released the Pete Rose cover, which led to the demise of Pete Rose.
Now, wasn't the lawyer who did the investigation?
John Dowd, same guy.
John Dowd.
Donald Trump's lawyer was John Dowd, the same guy who ran Pete Rose out of baseball.
Full circle here
the
in
Dowd
2018.
Report. That's right.
I saw Pete Rose last year at a casino. Went over and said hi.
We did. Breakfast. We saw him at Mohegan.
Pete Rose in a casino.
He was sitting there at Mohegan Sun having breakfast, and Zoe and I went over, and Zoe introduced himself and said, hey, you probably don't remember me. We did a card show together, 25 years ago, Pete remembered who he was.
Yep. Yeah.
He remembered. New Orleans, we did it.
He remembered where it was.
Yep.
I've seen Pete Rose twice in my life. I've literally bumped into him twice in my life. Once it was with Zoe at Mohegan Sun. The other time was at Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, Nevada. Twice I have literally stood 2 feet from him, and it was both in a casino.
It's my dad's favorite place. Charlie Hustle.
Yeah,
Charlie
Hustle. And, he had convenient that name, that short name. He could sign more autographs than anybody.
Pete Rose.
Eight letters. Boom, boom.
You think that's why he's been able to flood the market with his goods?
I don't know.
I disagree with that. That is a difficult autograph because it's a P-E-T-T. You got to dot it, then it's an R. It's not easy.
He's got a great signature, though.
He's fast.
It's a good-looking signature.
I have it signed Hit King, and he signed it to me. I'll bring it in tomorrow.
On this date in 2012, Frank McCourt sold the Dodgers, finally the South Boston parking lot magnate.
He sucked.
That was a moment. And
one
last baseball item from March 27th would be in 1981. Carlton Fisk was declared a free agent because the Red Sox had mailed his contract 2 days late.
Fred
he
Lynn,
went to the
same
White
thing,
Sox.
Right? He got traded before the that could all go down.
Because Burleson, Fred Lynn and Fisk were together, but Fisk was the one with the contract issue. The other two were mere holdouts. That's my
recollection. I was going to say, wasn't it that Fisk had filed the grievance and Lynn didn't because it was postmarked December 22nd? And so Fisk was the one that really pushed it. I'm just, again, this is going on my own recollection.
They lost him for nothing.
They didn't get anything. Lynn. But they in the process, before that grievance, they turned around and traded him to the Angels.
Lynn, yes.
Yeah.
They did do that. And Fisk...
Tanana or something? Who was the guy they got in return?
I'd have trouble
Joe
with
Montana?
That.
Hold on. Remember. Hold on. I'll tell you who it is, Dan.
It was a fairly large deal, as I recall.
Fred Lynn was traded to the California Angels. And I will tell you, it is. It was... hold on!
Okay.
Give me a second.
Well, Fisk wound up playing more games for the White Sox than the Red Sox.
What a shame.
When he left in 1981 on this date, March 27th.
Frank Tanana was who they got in return.
Yeah, see, his best days were gone. He was a soft thrower by then.
It was over at that point.
Yeah, it was over.
Oh, you know what? That reminds me of something else I wanted to remind you, to ask you about, but now I can't remember what it was.
Well, I make...
Oh, I know what it was. Bumper stickers. Haywood and Buddy are killing the Sox bumper stickers. Do you remember those? Huh.
There would have been a lot of those, but specifically, no.
Was like a thing in 81.
They were harpooned daily at that point.
Those guys were skewed.
It was not a happy...
Were you back in Boston yet at that point? Or were you still in Baltimore?
I was still in Baltimore. I came back in 81. Haywood was still running the show then.
And Haywood was getting smoked.
Yes. Yes.
Too bad we didn't have sports radio then.
A lot of Haywood stuff.
That would have been good.
So I may call you from the Trop Dome. That's up to the fellas in here. And I will see you in the studio next week.
Okay.
Thanks, fellas.
Enjoy Florida. You're going back to Florida.
That's baseball.
See you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan. Dan Shaughnessy with us here in our Town Fair Tire Studios. 90 seconds with Hardy. He has your headlines, and we're right back.